of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all. Our second reading from the book of Titus begins with this announcement. It's a wonderful word of promise, and one that can sound way too abstract and churchy to make much of a difference in our daily lives. After all, if we hear the word salvation these days, we may get a little nervous or even suspicious. Is someone going to preach judgment and condemnation on us if we don't believe the right things or if we don't try to be saved? I don't know that many of us gathered here or those around us are consumed with questions and concerns about the state of our salvation. As Dr. Monique Planet from Cambridge University writes, if the subject came up, we might be more likely to ask, what do I need salvation from and why? And again, how does this affect me? What does it have to do with my life today? The Titus reading goes on to say that the promise of God's salvation by grace that has appeared in Jesus Christ is not just about the future, but it is a salvation that has import for our lives in the world right now. The world in the popular culture of Christianity have done us a great disservice by insisting that salvation is only a personal, spiritual matter, dealing with an eternal destiny that requires little regard for this world and the creation that God made for it. The shift has taken us far from the promise of salvation that we see in the scriptures, not only in our reading from Titus, but in our first reading from the prophet Isaiah, and especially in Luke's telling of the Christmas gospel. But throughout Scripture, God's promise and gift of salvation is not about escape from this world, but about meeting people where they are, addressing their immediate needs, rescuing them not just from vague theological categories, but from real-life circumstances of bondage and oppression and violence and poverty, illness and isolation, shame, and judgment. Isaiah 2 proclaims God's salvation and hope for the people using several images we probably prefer not to think about as we envision a beautiful Christmas Eve, because they represent the worst of the spiritual world. Military uniforms, rods of oppressors, and garments rolled in blood. And yet, this is what Isaiah envisions salvation from. Freedom and release from oppression, with war put behind the people and ultimately eliminated and burned and destroyed, erased from existence. Once people are then saved here and now, they can then envision and embrace a future in the reign of the one who is to come, a future of endless peace and justice and righteousness, that is to say, safety and enough for all to live on, and everyone able to live in right and healthy relationship with God and others. But nowhere is this promise of God's salvation for the here and now more evident than in Luke's gospel that we hear on Christmas Eve. It is perfectly summarized in one sentence, the announcement from the angel. I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day a Savior. To you this day for all the people. God's plan is not at all about escape, but about engagement. God's salvation is not providing a faithful few a way out of the troubles of this world, only if they agree to the right beliefs, but it is instead about directly coming into the lives and stories of real and regular people, meeting them where they are, people from all parts of society, so that they can experience God's gift of grace. And so that experiencing that gift of grace, they can be saved and from all that binds them, all that prevents them from living into the life that God intends. We see God coming into the lives of ordinary people just going about the business of their lives. Mary and Joseph trying to focus on the child that they're expecting, looking for a place to stay while they're traveling, all while dealing with the frustrations and inconveniences of bureaucracy and paying taxes. The angel, the shepherds who are simply working the night shift, those who are already isolated not only by their job but by the opinions of others who thought them to be dirty and lazy and dishonest, they are the ones to whom this God comes. And then when the shepherds go from the manger to announce this good news, God once again comes to regular people, people probably just trying to get some sleep so they pretend to all they have to do the next day. good news of God brought to life in the birth of Jesus came directly into the lives of these people some 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem. And this good news was wrapped in bands of cloth and laid in a manger. And our gospel tells us this detail, wrapped in bands of cloth and laid in a manger, is a sign. A sign of God's loving care, God's even maternal care, a care that extends to all people, to the lowly, to the outcast, to the despised, to the desperate, to the ones just trying to get by, to everyone, even in their most humble and most humbling of moments. And so just as good news came into their lives this night long ago, God comes into our lives to bring good news to us. This day, not just so that we know where we'll go when we die, but so that Jesus' incarnation, by his entry into and his engagement with human life, we would all be assured. That is to say, you would be assured that God is with you right now in whatever it is you're struggling with. Jesus comes so that we might know that God's will is to save us, to release us, to free us, not just for some future far off heaven, from these things that bind us here and now. Because Jesus enters human history and experiences the troubles and pains and the suffering of human life in this broken world, even the senselessness of death on a cross, you may know that God can be with you, that God is with you, and that God will be with you in whatever you face. And so hear the good news that is brought to you this day. To you, for you, this day, this night. Good news, so that you would know that God is with you in your grief. Good news, so that you would know that Jesus suffers with you in your chronic illness. So that you know that in moments of doubt and uncertainty, God's presence is sure. So that you would know that God is with you when you are betrayed by friends and abandoned by loved ones. So that you would know that God can work grace and healing and reconciliation even to the most strained and broken of relationships. So that you would know that God is with you in your loneliness. So that you know that God is with you in anxiety and fear, even in times of hopelessness, promising that nothing, nothing in this world is beyond hope and redemption. So that you would know that God has a call and a purpose for you and your life. So that you know that God wants you, a precious child created in God's image, to be valued and treated with the utmost of dignity and respect. And above all, so that you would know the good news that God comes to you this night, so that you can experience God's love for you. And hear again that God's will for you and for all of us together was to be freed and released from whatever burdens and binds us right here. To you this day a Savior is born. For you God has acted. To you God brings salvation here and now. For you, for me, for all of us gathered here tonight, for all beyond these walls, including those the rest of the world might prefer to dismiss and forget, Jesus comes. Jesus comes again embodying and bringing the good news of God's grace and love, and the hope of peace once again.